Welcome to Close the Door and Come Here, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast with heavy leanings towards our two favorite characters, Jamie and Brienne.
There, there was a bear up there, all black and brown and covered in hair.
Hey everyone, I'm Guile and I tweet at Door Podcast, and today I'm joined by a full crew. We've got Chicky.
Hey, I am Chicky. I am Chicky on Blue Sky Social.
And Devin.
Hey, this is Devin, GD Arco on Twitter.
And Kama.
Hi, Kama Splice on Blue Sky Social.
And we've got Clotho.
Hi, I'm Clotho. You can find me at Clotho Spindle on Twitter.
And finally, we have Lot.
Hi there, I'm Lot.
So this is a very special episode. This is actually our 10th anniversary episode. If you're wondering where 10 years went, literally join the club. I think that's what, what we all were thinking as well. But it's been 10 years. There are some calls for questions, and a ton of you wrote in questions. And I just want to pre-apologize that we're probably not going to get to all of them, but thank you for your questions for this episode and really for, 10 years of really good questions and comments. So thanks from all the panel on that one.
That is so true. Can I just say that there have been times when the questions that we've received have really carried us through some rough episodes. So, and the comments, like, we really do appreciate everything from everybody.
You know what I appreciate? You all. For real. Like, the only reason I kept doing it is, like, you guys, you're incredible people. And, like, same. I'm just really grateful 10 years ago somehow we found each other.
And I think, too, just, you know,
10 years. We knew each other before podcast.
So, and a thanks, too, to all of our guests and everyone throughout the years, too. In the early days of the podcast, it really was, like, special guest star driven, as much of a logistical challenge that could be at times. I think it really did give us a really, a far more varied audience than we otherwise would have been able to get. And that, frankly, I don't see in other podcasts. So that's kind of what was able to set us aside. So I do have some questions, kind of getting into the history of the podcast to start with. So Cardinal Girl 75 from the Discord asks, what led you to decide to do the podcast? And I guess I'm going to probably lean on Chicky and Locke, since you are the original podcast members that are here.
You guys were there, though. You, like,
I know. I just thought
that Kama and Guile were all there at the inception. They act like they weren't, but they were.
So for me, it was, I was, like, going through a period of life where I had, like, friends that had, like, physically had left to different places in the world. And I, like, just didn't, and I had a new baby, a newish baby. And, like, I just had this, like, no social life, really. I found the fandom after reading the books and watching the show. And then I had always just wanted to do a podcast. Like, it had been a kind of one of those bucket list things. And then I'm hanging out with these people, like, pretty much every night in this chat room. And, like, we get along. I enjoy them. They're intelligent. They're way more knowledgeable than I am. I can figure out the thing. But I need knowledgeable people on this. So that was how it started.
It started in a chat room. Is the answer? It was a Jamie Brienne fandom chat room. We were talking, and I don't remember now if I had ever thought about doing a podcast. What I do know is I couldn't shut up about Jamie and Brienne, so it was a really natural fit for me, and that's how I ended up doing it.
And it's like, it's like kind of just putting it out there in that chat room. Like we're thinking about a podcast. Does anyone want to be on it? And then, like, just kind of collecting people as we went. And then it kind of turned into, like Guile was saying, like, guest starring,
That's the thing. And we have lost a bit of this as we have had to move to pre-recording episodes just because life got too busy for everyone if we didn't do it that way. But it very much was a fandom podcast in that a big percentage of the fandom at the time that it was started was actually on the podcast at different times as guest stars. We had so many different people come and guest and talk, and the fandom itself was really part of the podcast, at least in the first like 3 or 4 years.
We had a guest from every continent other than Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I mean, there's people who are up at like 4 in the morning so their cool. time.
Yeah.
And
That's what drew me to y'all. I'd like Jamie and Brianne, but I wasn't I like them, but I just wasn't over the top about them. And I found y'all on Twitter. And I was like, oh, like they have call. I think Tumblr as well. It's like they have calls out for guests, and like if you want to join, I was like, that's really cool. I don't know any other podcasts that do that. And like I'll never forget my first episode was The Hedge Knight. It was 2016. So what, 8 years ago? Yeah, 8 years ago. Yeah. So 2 years after the podcast got started, I think I'd maybe been listening to y'all for about a year or so when I found y'all, and I was like, I'm gonna just do it. I mean, I might not say much, but I love A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. It is my favorite thing George has done, and I really wanted to talk about it. Aww. And so I thank y'all so much for allowing guests on and then allowing me on, and then taking me in as one of y'all's on.
Did we take you?
You're not even an occasional jet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And like, and that, like
that was a hostage, kind of. We just like
seeing the way that like everyone who listens to the podcast, when people would send mail in, and like how I went from guest to occasional gent to just more than occasional gent, and then it's just
full on hostage.
And so I just really thank y'all for that, and to everyone who has ever listened, thank y'all, because like that's why I like coming to do it. It's just a lot of fun, and I learn so much and just get to talk about this thing that we all love.
Thank you for sharing that, Devin. Like, I love that journey. that's really cool.
Well, so I feel like I've gotten to meet everyone in person except for Devin, and it's been really great. I mean, I feel like I've made real friends, you know?
Yeah. Those chat, we would spend a lot of time in those chats. Those are long chats. Like, sometimes we're up like most of the night. I mean, it was fun.
I won't lie, some mornings driving to work, kind of nodding off a little bit.
Do you remember where, like, I just remember searching for Jamie Brienne. I remember somehow getting on Tumblr because I'd never been on Tumblr before, finding you all, but I don't remember where the chat, where did the chat start?
I remember
posted on
they
Tumblr.
They were on that, weren't they on that old,
tiny
original
chat.
Jamie and Brienne forum?
Oh, that original.
I can't remember the platform. But I remember Tumblr live draw.
Okay, that might have been
it. Amazing. And you did too, Clotho. I remember you
drawing. Oh, yes, yeah, we were drawing a lot. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I forgot about
that. Yeah, it was like we were sharing our stories, our artwork, and then, like, occasionally somebody would just link, like, this, like, tiny chat room. And then I just, like, by happenstance clicked on it one night, and then...
Magic. Tiny chat. That was it. Tiny chat. That was what it was called. Oh, I forgot about that.
So I'm going to switch gears from the kumbaya moment we're having here. And Buck O'Hare on the Discord has a question of, I definitely want to hear a history of the pod's biggest beefs.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I feel like it might be me right now. I haven't been around much.
It's like, are there any beefs? Like, I couldn't remember it. I was like,
George.
Boring, I guess.
Beef, yeah, George is our biggest beef.
I mean, obviously with the you know, the with D&D, but I think
yes.
You know, I think after season 8 or during season 8, I personally had a lot of Twitter beefs with other podcasts or prominent fans that were toadies. That was my definite beef about that. And I do think, you know, one of the things that I'm proud of is that we were, you know, we were critically independent.
So. Yes. I felt like we got a lot of like kind of like
yeah, grief for that we were like so like not, people were like super like, you couldn't say anything about the show that was remotely viewed as being too negative or too critical.
And can we just be like a little, can we just be a little bit smug about that now?
Yeah, right, right. Because like, we were right.
We fucking for a long told time. You all. We
and
told
everybody
you.
Generally agrees. I always right, see right. that, oh my God, they really went off the rails at like season 7 and 8. And I'm like, no, this was happening well before right. then. You just chose to ignore it.
Because we were constantly feeling, like, I feel like there was this, like, we'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, we're complaining again. But, like, and we were doing that from very early on. And I know if you listen, I haven't listened in a while, but those early episodes, we were doing that. So we kind of were already worried about what this was doing, you know, heading.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, for me, it was like, I feel like season 4 was like, yeah. probably the last time I could really feel like I actually like this show. And then season 5, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is the steep downhill dive.
I don't remember. There was one season where I like announced on the podcast to, I think everyone's surprised that I'm like, I'm not coming back to record the show.
That happened. Honestly, that happened a couple times throughout the series. Like, I remember there was right. one, I think it was after that Sansa episode. Mm-hmm. And we had to like have a emergency meeting, like, so we're done now, right? Like, we're not doing this.
Oh, right.
Well,
right.
and I, you know, Buck O'Hare is another question about our top 3 show beefs. So I think, and like top 3 guests or hated fan mm-hmm. theories. But I mean, if we're going into show beefs and like kind of how that impacts the podcast, I mean, the Jaime Cersei Sep scene in season 4 would mm-hmm. probably be, yes. you know, like one of the biggest ones, just in like horrendous. How. You know, yeah. this is a podcast, you know, built on a ship, and they just made our person a rapist. Right. And
well,
I mean,
what's funniest yeah. about that is that happened on like the 2nd episode of this podcast.
Right. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Right.
Oh.
We okay. all were having a massive crisis of faith immediately when the podcast started. Immediately.
And, you know, there's a reason that the podcast imagery is all Brienne, and that's why.
Yes, sure. Like, that is why.
Yeah.
Yes, our original logo was both Jaime and Brienne yeah. from the show, and we took Jaime out after that sept scene.
That
oh,
is
really?
True. I forgot about that.
That is definitely true. And yeah, I also quit doing show episodes, I think, after the Sansa thing.
Right.
But then yeah, didn't you come back? Didn't you all come back?
Yeah, whenever we're...
Do you know when I came back? I came back for the final episode or okay. two, because yeah. I think someone else at that point was like, I can't do that. One yeah. of the rest of you who had kept at it was like, I can't do this. And I was like, okay, I'll step in because I hate the show.
And
so
then,
we
took out saying like that it was a Game of Thrones podcast. That was a turning yeah. point too when we got back.
Yeah,
to we took that out. So
well, and I think I mean if we talk about top, Kicking Dogs has a question. What are the fondest or best moments of the past 10 years for doing the podcast? And I mean, honestly. Like, the vitriol on the last several show episodes is amazing.
I think one of my fondest memories, honestly, was the role-playing stuff, which I know some of you weren't on, but I loved that.
Oh, those were great.
Those
yeah.
were
great.
Those were so good.
Those came top
I love,
to mind
I love
me.
That y'all did those.
Yeah. I have a lot of scattered. I was going to say I have a lot of scattered memories. Like, I still – one of our early guests was Sandwiches.
Yes.
And
oh God.
That phrase, fog bank of contrivance, which I still remember.
Yes, I still think about that when I'm like driving and there's fog out. I'm thinking it's like classic.
And I remember like Eon with her sword knowledge, yeah. which she would occasionally display and be like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things like that. A lot of little odd little well not odd little, but yeah. a lot of little moments. I don't
There was a
go ahead,
I think it was maybe our 100th episode that, and this sounds like an idea that I came up with because mm-hmm. it falls completely apart in execution. Which
oh, the typical. Live? That was
yes,
awesome. That was awesome.
Where, like, yeah. All of the former guests would call yep. in at specific times on a live podcast, which just, I mean, besides being super, super drunk doing it, like, it
I
was
fucking had to
disaster.
Edit that thing.
It was amazing.
One of those hubby cast things you guys
oh,
did
yeah.
was
oh,
hysterical. Like the game show thing,
yeah.
I remember.
Oh, shit. I forgot about those.
That was fun. That was, I think you guys got my top three. It was like RPG, the live episode, and PuppyCast. Yeah. I wish I had numbers lined up. It's episode this, episode that, episode that.
It's funny because I had to go look at the live episode because that just like unlocked the memory that was watching the live episode, like was when I was like, okay, I'm going to finally reach out and see.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was
so
like utter chaos from beginning to end. Like, I don't know why we did that, but it was fun.
Again, that's like an idea of my, like, it's a big idea of mine that falls apart in execution. So that feels classic. Like something that I spearheaded just because of how it sounds like me.
I also have to give an honorable mention. That was one of the drunk casts. I think I was on it. We were talking about peeing off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really bombed, but it was, I mean, I don't know what it was like to listen. I've never gone back, but it was like afterwards, I'm like, what the hell did I say?
I mean, the drunk cast.
Like, oh, they were close.
Episode yeah, were close. Where we got into like a 20-minute discussion about potatoes.
Yes, we did.
Recipes?
I remember being on that one. That was a lot of fun.
I feel like there was a drunk cast where, was it you, Guile, who you fell asleep at one point?
Probably.
Yes. She did.
Again, that does sound like me. Awesome. I mean, we don't have a question about it, but on the drunk or whatever other substance cast, like, no, that's real. We're pretending.
No.
There was one drunk cast that was taking place while the Milwaukee Brewers were playing the seventh game of the NFC, the National League Championship Series. So if they won, they would have gone to the World Series, but it was during a drunk cast. And like, I can hear the progression myself as I become more and more sure they're going to lose and stuff. Like, that was a special one too.
I understood half of what you said just now.
Yeah. Local sports team does bad. How about?
Oh, got it. Thank you. In a nutshell.
I think for me, some of the fun episodes we haven't touched on are like some of the spoiler episodes that we did for Game of Thrones with Gatto and Jinmo were really fun too.
Right. So those were good episodes. There's a question here that kind of goes along with that, and so See Them Fly 2 on the subreddit says, several years ago, the infamous email proved that Jamie Brienne's intended book ending was very different from the show. Why do you think mainstream fandom was so hostile to the email, especially when it was obvious that Jamie Brienne and Cersei's show endings are likely not even close to what George intended? And I tie this one in because I think the answer is the answer reminds me, or what I think the answer is, reminds me a bit of those spoiler episodes, which is that, like, as important as this podcast was to our small sliver of fandom at a certain time, the larger fandom didn't give a shit about us. Like, spoiled. Like, she didn't just spoil Jamie Bran. She spoiled the entire trajectory of the last season of Game of Thrones, like, several months before anything else.
Jinmo.
Happened.
It was like, Jinmo. It was Jinmo.
Jinmo, right. Sorry, Jinmo did that. Yeah. Oh. And no one gave a shit at all.
We had nothing. Yeah, I just want to reiterate this because this was pretty spectacular. We had very real and we knew they were legitimate and real. Right. And we told everyone they were legitimate and real, but we couldn't say what our source was. Very good spoilers for the final season of the show. And no one believed us, which was great.
And then Jinmo did that thing on Twitter where she had every word, like for months, the first letter of every tweet, once you read it backwards after the fourth episode of the last season, spelled out what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, she went a little, like she went in deep to do that. Yeah, and I think that's it with this email. I think that it doesn't reach the greater fandom because, for better or worse, we're a really small podcast that...
Honestly, I think Clotho said it best once. We're kind of like the college radio of podcasts.
Right. It feels like college radio. Yep.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, never discount how much, like, just shippers in general are looked down on. And, like, I think for a lot of people who are in fandom, like, general fandom, like, just the idea that George would even engage with discussion about a ship probably annoys them. So, you know, I think there's an element of that to the backlash that we got.
Plus misogyny. I mean, overarching misogyny.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what's at the base of the anti-shipper stuff, I think. Yeah. It's not a legitimate way to fandom, right?
Yeah, at least not in this fandom. Sadie from the Discord has another fandom-related question. They ask, have you noticed any changes, big or small, in the JB fandom in the 10 years of doing the podcast? I mean, it doesn't exist anymore.
I feel like we're a lot, much more hands, or I was much more in it. I think in the past few years, it just seemed like, I'm on the edges of it. So maybe, I don't know, you all have a little more information.
I mean, but changed. The fandom exists, but, we're not really in it anymore is what it is. It's just moved beyond our circles. It's much smaller. Obviously, it's much, much smaller.
I chose to disengage with a lot of it because of some very stupid people.
Right. It was getting
and
really
I was like, I had my friends here. I had the podcast. I did watch the show to the bitter end. I still have the books. I still look at the books. I still read them. But I was like, I'm too old to be in these very toxic circles. And it's basically you know what? You people are all crazy. I'm going to take my toys and go and play somewhere else.
Right.
So that was kind of my experience. But of course, since the show isn't on now, whatever I see out there isn't so nasty when I do occasionally look. So
it feels like it might be coming back full circle because it felt like it got really tainted by the just new. I don't want to say I don't want to seem sound like a snobby about it, but the concept that the show so. The people that were coming into the fandom at that point when the show was super, super popular, they took the show took away everything that was really important to that ship and twisted it. So it's it felt like it just got really weird and negative. And that was kind of compounded by the people that sort of were on that side of things, that really super show shipper people, that were into a Jamie and Brienne that purely existed on the show and didn't exist in the books. And now it seems like it's coming back to people who are back to what made that ship good in the first, or made it appealing to people.
Well, I will say, as the one of this group that has kept their toe the most in fandom, and I barely am, I think one of the biggest changes is just the split between book and show fans, because it was very much a meshed situation when all of us joined fandom, and it very much became two separate things.
It was sad.
By this time. Yeah, it's a little sad. It is. But it was kind of like you just... They were so different that they were just completely different things. And I know there are people who still consider themselves fans of both. But it's kind of like being fans of two different things at this point. Yeah. And that's very evident in whatever remains of the fandom. It's splintered in that way.
I mean, any fandom can only remain as strong for as long as there is new content, of which there is none at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Part of it.
Actually, so that brings up something I know Chicky wanted to talk about in terms of new content. So is it – it's a library in Texas? Is that where there's
Did we trigger warn for this episode?
No, we should – we should trigger
warn. Let's trigger warn for this section. Yeah. This is going to be a very triggering –
a rape conversation.
Yes. Texas A&M is where George R.R. Martin has his collection of a lot of his papers and manuscripts. And he has, literally the annotated manuscripts that he would receive back from his editors and reply to for most of everything that he's published, not just A Song of Ice and Fire. And, so people occasionally will go and look at these manuscripts and we kind of mine new things out of them. This has been going on for years and years. I don't know. Well, most of the life of the podcast, at least 7 or 8 years. And someone just went and did a read of the manuscript for A Storm of Swords and found in it a draft of Jamie's chapters where – rather than Jamie yelling out sapphires when he and Bran have been captured and saving Bran from rape, she is in fact repeatedly raped by the Bloody Mummers to the point where she kind of goes, I don't know, catatonic or something. This is obviously a very upsetting thing for everyone in the fandom who's still in the fandom to learn. I saw some of the fallout. It was not great. It's very upsetting. It seems to be probably more evidence of the Pretty Maris theory being true, that maybe Pretty Maris turned out to be the Brienne that maybe George originally intended to write. which is upsetting. But
right. Why are you writing this?
Why?
Women get hurt. Great. I think we've been beaten over the head with that throughout the story and every other story ever. How about we not do that this time?
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I'm not clear on from what they said, because I didn't even ask any questions of this person, because I just, in a weird way, I just can't even engage with this. But we don't know if this is something that his editor suggested that he change or if he just had a change of heart. Well, things just vary.
I'd like to think he had a change of heart, because he probably had it as an outline, right? Like, this was an idea or a path that he was going to take with the story. And then the more he got to writing and fleshing out Brienne, especially as a character, I don't know how you don't fall in love with Brienne. Couldn't do it. Got to a point where he's like, I can't do this. I can't write this.
Well, and it doesn't, what does it add to the story? If she's not there, what a boring, that's a very terrible word to use, but that diminishes Jamie's trip, at least in terms of the entertainment value of reading a book too, if he has no one that he is bouncing off of or anything either.
I wonder, he was with Game of Thrones in particular, I know I've read some things where he talked about the idea of subverting tropes and the pretty princess, doesn't succeed and gets, I think maybe he was originally thinking that, the plucky female who goes off to fight has a bad, but you were saying, we know this, we know what happens to women. We don't, or can happen to women. We don't need this in our fiction.
Yeah.
Seriously, what's wrong with you? If it's plucky girl goes off to fight and gets raped and mutilated, fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, he explored that with the Brave Danny Flint myth and stuff like that, and right. Probably Pretty Maris. And it's a thing, but I talked about how much goddamn misery is in these books. And occasionally it's okay, you cannot keep doing this. It's just not enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever made him change his mind, I'm glad that he did. But it's just, at the same time, it's just really upsetting to think he was ever headed down that
path. So there's some fun. So one of the reasons, besides us realizing that 10 years ago is holy shit, a thing, was we kind of wanted to do an episode where we talked about Jamie and Brienne again, because for our loyal listeners, it's been a lot of John and Sam and, all these characters.
Arya, other than
Jamie and Brienne for a while. So we wanted to be able to dig into, actually heavily lean into those two favorite characters. So we did get some questions that I thought were, hold up here one moment. Okay, so Pretty Thief asks, if it was announced today that someone else was making A Song of Ice and Fire into a TV show, and by some happy miracle, the JB podcast team was asked to consult, what are some things you'd be sure to make happen? Be it plot points, production decisions, casting, etc.
Oh, gosh. They'd have to have... They totally left out the...
Stoneheart.
The prophetic dream where she's in the... Oh, my gosh. We're... Brienne is naked in the
Weirwood dream.
Yes. Oh my god.
Stoneheart.
Stoneheart would have to be in there. Stoneheart is the path that sets them back on the route to each other.
And for casting an actress in the role of Kat, good lord, how disappointed was Michelle Fairley when she didn't get to play Stoneheart? How much fun with that
event. I know she was pitched with that role, Stoneheart, at some point.
And yes. Or she read the books quick and was oh my god, this is gonna be real fun. Holy shit.
Something Chicky said years ago has stuck me with over the years, which is that what they should have done is almost like what the Ralph Bakshi did with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Make it almost an animated series.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Because you could probably do a lot more. You could explore a lot more of the story that got left out, cut out. It would make some of the casting probably simpler, you know. But yeah, all the things you're saying.
The fantastical elements. Oh, sorry. Right. Go ahead.
My main thing that I think could have salvaged show Jamie and Brienne from the beginning is if they had just not changed Cersei's character from the first episode. If Cersei had been in character, I don't think we would have had the problems that we had with how Jamie and Brienne were represented. I mean, whatever changes they would have made, that was kind of what changed the heart of the whole situation.
And I think, you know, I don't remember who said it, but someone said you know, what these dumbasses did is they told half of the story through Cersei's POV as if it was accurate. And then they told the other half of the story with Ramsay as the accurate POV. So those were our two main POVs for a couple of seasons, as if those were the characters that should have been centered around. But I mean,
years of the show
were centered around Cersei, a Cersei that's not the Cersei from the books. That's a different, you know, Carol. Isn't that what we called her?
Yeah, Carol.
Yes. I get why they dug into Ramsay. I get why they did some of the things that they did with Cersei. I just think there are interesting enough villains that work with the story so that you don't have to really change the core of the characters. Like, I don't really quibble as much with them with the, I mean, you know, there are certain things I obviously wish they had adapted, but the adaptational changes, I really don't begrudge them many of those. It's just the fact that they changed the underlying core, beats of the story as far as the emotions and the way that it worked. I mean, not having Jaime break up with Cersei until, I don't know what, 6 episodes before the end of the series, and then have him go back. I mean, that whole thing, that's just...
I mean, changing
that changed everything.
Yeah. I mean, changing the White Sword Tower to be the opposite of as written.
Oh, you know, that.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Oh my God. Like
yeah, that's the shit. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I really, you know, if anything, I think they could have done it in 5 or 6 seasons if they had streamlined things, which I think would have been better. Actually, I think they actually, everybody's like, oh, they rushed too much. I'm like, actually, they just really didn't rush enough. They needed to cut some things. I don't disagree with some of the bigger cuts that they did with the story if they had done it in a way that it served the overall story. And I don't think it did. So, yeah, I don't know. I would change some things, but I don't begrudge them everything that they did.
I'm going to begrudge them everything they did because I really hate them. So I don't. I mean,
it's astounding when you think about it. They literally had the best show on television, the biggest budget, the largest scale, everything. It was probably the last show that communally people watched together and wanted to talk about. I don't think we're ever going to have that again. And just the more I think about it, the angrier I get.
It did something. It ruined something.
They have a new show out, and I'm like, someone told me, I'm like, oh, thank you for warning me, because I'm never watching anything knowingly that those two clowns produced.
I saw some comment, well, it's all written, and I'm like, that fucker ruined the Iliad. So I don't, you know, I have no, I don't care if it's written. Let's not forget that he ruined the Iliad. So I have complete
that thing's been finished forever.
Right. Don't piss off the Homer fandom. We don't forget this shit. So
there's a Homer fandom?
Hell yeah.
Can't you tell that Guile is in it?
Yeah.
Guile is it.
I might be it. My brother and I might be the Homer fandom. He likes Sarpedon. I like Antilochus, the son of Nestor. Those are our obscure Trojan War characters that we're fans of. Sarpedon was actually a son of Zeus. Just saying.
I like the horse. I'm like Ralph. Different Homer.
So I think we kind of, you know, Cardinal Girl 75 asks, at what point did you lose hope that the show would do right by Jamie and Brienne? We've kind of answered that.
Episode two of this podcast, we lost faith.
Yeah.
Honestly, mine was when they decided not to bring Stoneheart in, because I remember very specifically going into those episodes and I was very adamantly, this is fucked up. This is not going to go well.
You know, I can remember being if Jamie's going to wear the yellow robes of Dorne and it's instead of the Riverlands, I'll keep an open mind. I feel like I kept an open mind much longer than I should have.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And, God, all that shit with oh my God, it was terrible. That whole I'm thinking about it all.
Yeah, it was awful.
Oh God, horrible
that they did that.
Priscilla, yeah, I mean, the poison on the boat.
Kids never keep an open mind. Like,
how I forgot all about that.
That was the take. Like, never keep an open mind.
Never believe in anything. So I have a question. Just, you know, when I was thinking of questions for modding this episode, you know, I was just thinking, like, you know, where are Jamie and Brienne in your lives now? Like, you know, I think of, you know, a lot of us drew or wrote or, you know, did this podcast when it was more talking about them. And, you know, are they in your life now? And if so, how?
I think about them.
I think so, yeah.
I do actually occasionally go back and rewatch. I stopped buying the show DVDs after a certain point, but like I do occasionally watch some of their scenes together, and I definitely reread those chapters occasionally. But it's more casual now. I'm in other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't do any like creation things anymore, or like engagements aside from this podcast. And when I say aside from this podcast, as in like today, it's been a while. I met one of them. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, how have we not talked about this? Which one of us has met one of the actors who were played Jamie and Brienne? Yes, organically met. Can we say organically met them?
It was so super organic. No, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that organic. It was perfectly normally organic.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Jamie and Brienne are in the same place they've been for, God, how long has it been? Jesus Christ. I don't know. I'm closing on 20 years. I don't know. A long time. Ever since I read those stupid books.
So
they just kind of are like at a low level, you know, like every couple months I got to read their chapters and get my stupid feelings about them again and wish that I had closure on this dumb ship. I want out. Get me out. Close it.
I think I'm mostly like my daughter is currently experiencing ship issues with us. She watches 9-1-1, and there's the Buck and Eddie.
Everyone
wants them to be a couple.
Is she into that?
Yeah, she's a buddy, and she makes edits, and I'm like, I watched this, and I'm serious. I feel for her, because some of the things she says, I said, this is the torment. This sounds like the things we were saying about Jamie and Brienne that the show was not giving us, and I said, I want to be hopeful for you, and I want to be hopeful for this season, but I feel like our hopes kept getting dashed, and we'd do this. We'd get our hopes up, and you'd pick at any little thing. So yeah, so I think that sort of brings me back to the feelings of the our original feelings for the ship and for the characters in the books. And
I was at a concert last summer, and it was Bon Iver, and like there's some blood bank where there's just like a couple, there's some lines in it that are very Jamie and Brienne. And I didn't think he was going to play it, because I heard he doesn't play like stuff we like anymore, you know, just like new stuff. And, but he played it. And I totally got, like, emotional about it, because it was, like, making me think of them and, like, how much, like, they're still, like, it's still, like, the greatest ship. Like, there's no other ship that compares, and, like, there's, I'm not into any other ship. I don't, you know, there's nothing else like that. It, you know, there's, but I'm not, you know, I'm not into them either, really. You know, it's, like, this memory of, like, a past thing. Now, you know, the old man down south writes something, and I'm immediately back in, like, no doubt, right? But until that happens, it's like, they're just, you know, they're dormant for me.
Yeah. And, you know. I think, well, that was going to, actually, this is prompting a question for me. I think Guile just answered it, but, like, aside from Jamie and Brienne, is there anything you're actively shipping?
No.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, no, the things I'm in right now, I mean, like, I watch a lot of old movies. I'm in a lot of film discords and stuff, but those are one-offs. There's no shipping there.
I mean, there's stuff that I ship. I'll, like, watch something and go, oh, yeah. I ship that. But, like, yeah. I don't care. I'm not going to go, like, get involved in the fandom or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I watch a lot of K-dramas, but I haven't gotten fandom involved, so.
Watch a lot of Bravo, so.
Well, and every time I do occasionally, like, I'm on a couple of subreddits for, like, some TV shows and things like that. And, like, I kind of dip toes in, and then every so, you know, I get reminded real fast of how toxic stuff can get. And I usually just yank my foot right out of that water. And I'll think about it, and I'll read about it, but I'm not... It's not really shipping or fandom the way it used to be for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to find a new topic here in my, you know, super professional podcast moderation here. Let's keep talking about Jamie and Brienne. Was there any, you know, we kind of talked about the show a little bit, but was there anything that you guys think the show did well?
I thought the casting was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really have too much issue with a lot of the casting. I mean, there are obviously a couple.
Well, there were outliers, but
definitely not the wigs or the lighting. Oh, God. casting was excellent.
I honestly think they were pretty good showrunners. I mean, there was a certain point where, like, the breadth and the scope of what they were doing on Game of Thrones was unlike anything I think we'd ever seen on TV before or will ever see again. And they were able to juggle all of that. I mean, my issues were mostly just with story.
Right, yeah.
Well, they fell apart in the writing room.
Right.
Yeah, they were good at spending. Devin's right. They were good at spending.
I mean, like, the locations that they were in and the world building and the costumes, like, those
until
are really...
Until season 8, when, remember, suddenly King's Landing was in a desert?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they just... The lack of care for something that big is so, like...
Egregious.
Yeah. Just, I can't even imagine having something that... And just, like, not caring.
Because at that point, I think they'd gotten into the attitude of their shit didn't stink, and they could do whatever the hell they wanted and fuck everyone else.
Yeah, it felt like they checked out at some point.
They yeah.
Just, oh, like, they totally
slide in.
Yeah, because wasn't it like the last two seasons where people were pointing out that, like, oh, look at this truck with chains that's in the background of this shot that nobody edited out or told the truck to move or whatever it was.
Or the
and, like, the coffee Starbucks or something. Cup. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That whole, their choice to make things so, like, we couldn't see things because they wanted it to look good on DVD. God. And I'm like, we're in a streaming world. This is really stupid.
Right.
The last, the battle at Winterfell, you can see none of it.
And were they? Can we blame that on them? Were they the start?
Yes, I think they made choices.
Because there's still
they
shows
made
that
deliberate
are doing
choices to do things that they didn't think out, and then they got. Who was that writer that got run off of Twitter? And I was so glad that Brian dude.
Oh, yes.
He got run off of Twitter several times. That's the best part.
The music, we could say the music was great. I mean,
oh, yes, the music was
the
really
iconic.
Good.
I never liked the music. I actually don't like the music at
what?
All. I never did like it.
You are in a minority, my friend, on that one.
Like, that man was beautiful, and he also specifically wrote a Jamie Brienne wedding song because, like, I think that's what he thought was going to happen and wanted to happen, so he did it. Like, that is a dude.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So we have some fun, some kind of maybe forward-looking questions. So Sadie from the Discord says, in the time since you've started the podcast, is there anything you've changed your mind on in terms of storylines for any of the characters or plot points? And she specifies it doesn't necessarily have to be Jamie or Brienne related.
Probably. I'm sure. Yeah. I can't remember right now, but probably.
Like, is it like show? Are we talking a show?
No, I think, like, just in terms of maybe where things are going.
I mean, there's no question that the show altered some of how we understand the books are going to end. I mean, definitely the show spoiled stuff from the books that we didn't know when we started the podcast. So, for sure, some things that we thought were altered by what we learned
eventually. I think the way the show, the failure of the show structures probably changed my mind about whether or not, like, Aegon and Dorne were like a good idea because it seems like it doesn't work without those characters being in there because then you did have this like omnipotent Cersei that was the big bad and like that didn't work but then because they didn't have an Aegon or an Arianne or any of those characters like there wasn't anyone you know for Dany at that point to like be against So I feel like it made me realize, like, oh, yeah, okay, I kind of see maybe why he has Egan in here now. Savick via Gmail says, have you all really truly given up on hope for Winds of Winter to come out? And if so, was there a certain moment when you definitely lost hope? There's been so much ups and downs on this over the years. Somehow I still cannot believe that George is ready to leave this thing unfinished. How could he? I mean, Chicky, is it like the New Year's Eve of despair? Like,
I still remember that.
No. Yeah, I here's my thing. There will be some version of Winds of Winter. He's written too much of it for something not to eventually be published. Now, whether that will be now or it will be when it's out of his hands, it's hard to know. But they will publish something. There's too much
money at stake.
There's too much money at stake. Too much of it's finished. We know how much he's written. He said he's written about 3/4 of it. So,
but it gets me so worried when, you know, we have these authors' notes and stuff and other versions of it that are completely 180 to what eventually happened that, like,
yeah.
I don't, you know, I feel like it's not, like, real. It's canon can never be canon unless he's still alive when it's published, I feel like.
I don't disagree with that.
I think as far as my when, I don't think there's a definitive moment. It's just sort of like a stone being, like, water's been dripping on it for a long time, and I'm like, yeah, no, it's not, it's eroded. But, like, I think you're right. I think there's too much money. I think he's gotten himself into a place where he's just been so blocked and so... And I think some of the choices that were made on the show, he may have been tinkering with to redo or to change because he was unhappy with what they did, which makes me hopeful. Because
I honestly think, I don't even know if he was planning to do some of the things that they did on the show, but I think there might be an element of demonstrating how much he never intended to do what they did on the show, that he might even be going overboard. Like, I'm a little concerned about that with some of the ways that he has reacted and some of the things that he said.
Well, like, if he was in the middle of writing this thing when the show was going on, right?
What?
He was, like, in the middle of writing this thing when the show was going on. And, like, if they make changes, then he's like, oh, no. And he would get upset. Like, some of his criticisms, I would be like, you can't do that for TV. Like,
yeah,
the random character who died, who, you know, is really not core, is not a big thing.
Yeah,
Ramsay rape, you know, be marrying and raping Sansa. That's a big deal. You know, Jamie, I mean, all these things. But I think he gets too caught up in the minutiae and the details. And he's got all of these other irons in the fire. And he doesn't have a reason to finish it.
And for me, every time I, like, there's even a sliver of hope for Winds, I'm instantly reminded, oh, there's a whole nother book. So even if we were to get Winds, does it truly satisfy anything? It'll satisfy some things, but just that feeling that it'll never be complete. His version will never be complete.
Yeah, there's no question we're never going to get his actual ending. Because, I mean, you know, could he even do it in 2 more books? Probably not. It would probably take him a minute.
Probably not. Yeah.
So, you know, we're never going to get an ending from him. Will we get the Winds of Winter? Yeah. I mean, it honestly wouldn't shock me if he gets it out. I'm just concerned about what it's going to be at this point.
It's just wild because if he could actually get it together and do these, I really feel like it would be so popular because people were so upset about the ending of the shows that I think it would be like a phenomenal like hit.
I think you would get show only people. That would, like, go, okay, let me read the books because the show ended so terribly. Oh, let me see what he was going to do. So and, like, it kind of flips fandom in a way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like these were unheard of little books before the show.
Right, right.
Like, there
He'd get tons. Yeah, I mean, if that was at all an issue, I don't think it is in his mind, but he would, oh my God, he'd sell so many.
Well, I think it probably starts up the conversation around a new version of the show of some kind, too. So,
right.
You know, speaking of shows, you know, are you guys planning to watch A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms when that happens, when that comes out?
I might. I would kind of like to, but yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to depend who's doing it, who's cast.
I think I'd watch it. I did watch. I mean, I cracked and watched the new one my God, what's it called? The train.
Yeah, you did it. Did you really?
I was on an airplane.
I knew Devin did. I didn't know Lot did. Oh, wow.
I did. I was on an airplane and it was a long flight. I watched most everything else and I just cracked. And it was pretty good, but I still don't give a fuck about Targaryens. Like, I left off at midway point and I've not picked it up.
That's the thing. It's like, I still don't give a fuck about this family for real.
Yeah.
Okay, if it wasn't Targaryens, would it feel better because D&D aren't involved? Does it feel different or does it?
It feels very fan service-y. So okay. There is that.
Yes, I agree.
Which yeah. I guess could be good or bad, depending on those fans being serviced.
Yeah, Targaryen fans. It
was like the third season of Picard was fan servicey, and I love that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Oh my God, that was amazing. That was like Christmas. Can we just talk about Picard season three
now? So great. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it all. I was so happy. I was like, Data, come back. I don't care if you died a million times. Come back.
Data, I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing if it's a fan servicey thing. It's just, how is it done? And like, part of the reason that worked for me was because I had all of those years of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't like out of right, nowhere. I mean, right.
Now we are doing a Picard season three.
I'm there.
We should probably say that we have thrown around the idea of possibly podcasting for the Night of the Seven Kingdoms or whatever they're going to call it, the Dunkin' Egg show. We're definitely,
it could be
bizarrely, crazily enough, actually tossing that idea around. So stay tuned.
I hope they do justice.
I mean, I honestly, if they did, if they were doing like the Blackfyre Rebellion instead of the Dance of Dragons, like that interests me more because the characters are more interesting to me.
So much more.
Like, not everyone's a complete asshole. Like, actually, like it seems like a large number of them are cool, and you know that'd be more fun. But you know, you know, and I'm sure that's kind of what they're thinking is like they might do a time jump, like a small time jump and do that, you know.
Well, you know, one thing I always thought we might do an episode about if it ever happened is they kept talking about doing this, you know, from Robert's Rebellion, not from Robert's Rebellion. You know, they were going to do the tourney at Harrenhal, a play about it.
Oh, yeah.
That George supposedly was heavily involved in. And I was like, that might be an episode we might do at some point. That would be worth discussing. Yeah. Just one. Don't know.
So we've got some speculative questions about where Jaime and Brienne are going. So Green Mountain Woman from the subreddit asks, do you have any theories about how Brienne and Jaime can escape Stoneheart?
Don't go see Stoneheart.
That's fuck my you, theory. Pod. Fuck you,
don't
Pod.
Go there.
I mean, I always thought that maybe Thoros would have something to do with it because, like, it seems like he's actually getting more powerful as well as, you know, magic gets more powerful in the world. And, like, you know, there's another question here about, you know, what is the specific part that Jaime and Brienne together or separately were intended to play in the bigger picture when George introduced them in the story? And I mean, to me, it seems like they're supposed to play a pretty big part in the war against the dead. Like, they're supposed to be, you know, leaders in the army that are supposed to do something special, essentially, to win that. And that Thoros might know that and, like, try to save them or something. I don't know.
Well, I've convoluted. Always said, okay, people always are like, oh, you know, Jaime is going to die, but Jaime's going to die late. Because it seems pretty obvious to me. It has always felt obvious to me. That Jaime is Jaime to be the person who brings the Lannisters into the fight against the dead, the final fight. Because I mean, Tyrion does not have whatever role Tyrion will play. The Lannisters are not going to be in his favor. It's going to be Jaime. It's got to be Jaime who brings the Lannisters, the Westermen into the fight. But
like the Riverlands and everything too. Like there's a reason he's like going around the Riverlands, like being cool. And it's not like, oh, it doesn't matter because Tywin was a dick. It's like, no, because like Jaime's sort of proving that Jaime's proving to be someone that a number of reasonable people will follow when push cut, you know, when the shit goes down, you're going to be like, yeah, okay, I can get with that, dude.
Yeah.
I just like the thought of like if Bran and Jaime are together, they could pretty much do anything or figure it out. And it's like, it likens to another show I've kind of been pulled back into. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's like the Walking Dead franchise with Michonne and Rick. And they keep talking about like those two together. Oh,
They're tempting me with that. I'm so tempted to get into it because of the two of them. Go ahead.
I will tell you that it's like very like Bridgerton meets the Walking Dead. I think you might like it. Oh, it's such a romance.
The Walking Dead is like maybe the most fascinating statement I've heard in a long time. Like, I can't even imagine.
It's like pretty hot. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I like the if she could just get him away and like tell him the situation, like put their heads together, they'll figure it out. I'm ever the optimist.
Well, and I mean,
ship that. I ship the crap out of that. I'll tell you what. Any woman with a sword, I probably ship it, and I'm in there.
And yeah, I think we all, Wyrett asked, what would Jamie and Brienne's fate at the end of the story if the books were ever finished? And, you know, what would you make their fate be? And, I mean, I want them to live happily ever after, but, like, I'm happy if, like, they're together and everyone knows it and has to acknowledge it. And, like, they get to be heroes and everyone knows it. But I also feel like there's that aspect of this that is about, like, how reality has changed into myths over the course of time. So like Brienne the Beauty and Golden Hand, like those are like things that, you know, in the Westeros of 1,000 years hence, like that's what people really think they were. And I kind of like whatever happens, I kind of like the idea of like the myth of them being what, you know, what lives on somehow.
In song and story, yeah, like just like legends. Like I'm okay with them having, like, I just want them together again and to like be able to do stuff with and to each other.
Yeah, and I want everyone to know about it. Like,
yeah, I don't want everyone to know about it. Yeah, and like if they die or, you know, if they go down fighting, like I'd be okay with that. Like,
but, yeah, same. Yeah.
There needs to be some resolution here. Right.
You know,
Jamie's gonna die. I just say this again. Jamie will die. That's fine with me. I don't care if he does. As long as they get together first, I really don't care.
And I know you're not a big fan of like Brienne, you know, being pregnant with his baby and stuff. I mean, I'm happy if that happens, but I get it.
We're still doing that. Oh.
I'm okay with that as well. Being a pregnant woman is not offensive to me.
I mean, it's like she, you know, she deserves to be defined on her own outside of that.
Yes,
but, you know, I also think like that would make her happy.
I feel like I would like it if some of that Lannister line survived too. Like, it makes me kind of sad thinking about if all of them are just dead.
Because they're like super fun. Because like these are not a line that should die. Like they should live on.
I know. Like, it'd be sad.
Funny little fuck need to live. Do we think that Brienne being Dunk's descendant will play a part in the story at all?
I hope so. I feel like there's been way too much teased, like, for it to not go anywhere. Like, I don't know. Or maybe it's just Easter eggs for us, so who knows?
Yeah, even if it's just an Easter egg, if it's confirmed, I would be really happy.
We're kind of in lightning round. Any feelings about Valonqar? Is it Jamie? Is it a retcon? Is it stupid? Like, what do you guys think?
Oh, God, I'm just so tired. I just, like, we'll never know. So it's like, I'm just tired of discussing it.
I like to think
it's never going to be confirmed.
Yeah. I like to just think it was like this lady, like, just couldn't stand this little brat and just planted, like, just toxically planted this thing in her head. And yep. It's not even got nothing to do with anything. It's just fucking with her.
Honestly, that is the prophecy. Best resolution. It's like she learns that it was like some fake thing, or we learn it was some fake thing.
Yeah, or like a curse. She made the curse come true, kind of thing.
Just get like a scene with her again where she's like telling some other brat this thing.
Telling him the
exact same story.
What's the craziest theory you've heard surrounding Jamie and Brienne?
I don't know. They don't get many of the crazy ones.
That they're just friends.
He just respects her so much. It's through respect.
God.
Yeah, that's it.
If Brienne didn't exist and someone else had taken Jaime back to King's Landing, do you think he would have changed in the same way he did? I mean,
I don't
This is from See Them Fly. I mean, I don't think so, because I think he specifically represents, like,
he would have changed.
He could have. He could always have changed, but he wasn't going to.
I think he was changed. You can tell he came out of the dungeons changed. But would he have changed in the same way with the same goals? Probably not. He was already changed. Things were already changing. But
yeah,
I think she has been like a lighthouse that has given him direction in the change. If that makes any sense.
Because Jamie's whole thing, he had idolized figures in his life that constantly disappointed him, right? And then Brienne comes along and, like, again, that's the lighthouse.
This is what makes me so upset, is because what you just said there, he's idolized people and then he disappoint them. And this is like, this is the fucking cliffhanger. He idolizes her and she's about to disappoint him, maybe. Like, what's going to happen? Oh, God,
I know.
You know?
The thing we never talk about is where we got left. And we got left in a really shitty place. Yeah. A really shitty place. Right. She's lying to him and I hate it. I hate every minute of it.
Right. And, like, you know, you would think, and I think, like, a lot of fan fiction obviously resolves this when he's, like, realizes that she was actually going to die for him. And, like, you know, he's not, like, I can't think of anyone who would want someone to die for him less than Jamie would.
No. Like,
that is not, you know, and also no one else would die for Jamie. Like, literally no one else would do that. So.
No.
And, yeah, all those, that was, like, so. Dance came out in 2011, so 13 fucking years from there on there for one.
Oh, fucking God.
That's crazy when you think that when this podcast started, it was only 3 years after Dance. I mean, at that point, you could have reasonably thought, like, oh, it took a while for, you know, between Dance and Feast, but, like, you know, another 5 years, or 2 years from now.
Remember how do it felt in 2015?
Yeah,
2015, we felt like it was wildly overdue.
Yeah.
And, like...
Yeah, I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, once you start to do the math, it's like, of course it's not going to happen. That's crazy. We have some kind of congratulatory messages, but before we get to those, I wanted to make sure that, you know, were there other... Oh, there's one more question before we get to those. If anyone wants to kind of share maybe the moment that they started shipping it,
I mean, I don't remember exactly. It was definitely reading Storm of Swords. I don't remember the exact moment.
I can't remember anymore. It might have been the show. It might have been the books.
It was the books for sure for me.
I just can't remember when I started. It might have been the books because I think I read and I was like, oh, they're going to be together because I understand narrative convention. And I remember talking to someone who was like, what are you talking about? Like...
Yeah, it was definitely the books because I read the books after season one of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Yeah, and I remember
pretty quickly in too when they were like bickering, but pretty quickly.
Like season two of the show, like bickering couple.
I'm like, how can you not think they're gonna get together? I'm like,
And I mean, if you start from the show, like you start from like the end of season two on the show and then you read the books and it's like, oh, this is like fun bickering couple. And then you read you read Storm of Swords and Feast and you're like, oh, fuck, it's so much more than that. Like,
I don't like the hand slap, like the golden slap is like that cemented everything for me.
And I mean, Jamie just by himself would always be the type of character that I would love. Just, you know, good looking smart ass, like sign me up, you know. And then to have all of this happen to him, like, ugh. One last question. What's your favorite non-Jamie Brienne theory and how likely do you think it's going to happen?
Well, we talked about it in a recent episode. I think the theory about Rob's will. What do they call it again? The Grand Northern Conspiracy? Or I can't remember
Great
what it's
Northern
called.
Conspiracy.
Great Northern Conspiracy, that's it.
I mean, I love
like
the
that.
Whole...
I would love that.
I love the whole that Stannis is, like, luring Roose's army onto the lake, and then they're going to fall in and die. I love that.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I haven't heard that one, but...
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, that's what... There's a whole bunch of theories that that's what they've been poking holes in the lake and stuff. And they're going to lure him in there and then they're going to fall and freeze and die.
I mean, I'm down with it.
I mean, Danny becoming the villain, like, that's probably a big one, but actually it making sense. I'd like to see how that would get written out.
What is the one that embarrasses actually three children, like, on top of each other's shoulders?
What did you just say? What?
There's a joke theory where Varys is actually three of, like, the little kids.
Oh my god.
I'm in a trench coat or whatever.
In a trench yoga, basically.
So weird.
All right, so just some general comments that I want to share with everyone. So CardinalGirl75 says, close the door has gotten me through a lot of long work commutes, and during the pandemic, a lot of hours stuck in my car in between appointments when I literally had nowhere to go because my office was closed. So I feel like this is really my personal comment here. This seems like something indicative of our audience. Like, they're literally captains. And they say, thank you so much for the fun I've had listening to you guys. And Green Mountain Woman says, first of all, I want to thank all of you ladies and occasional gents for the pleasure you've given me and are still giving me. I was late to the party, didn't discover the JB fandom until more than a year after the end of the show, when I found myself still upset and brooding over the ending. Eventually, I discovered your podcast, and your insights and humor have accompanied me on long car rides ever since. I still haven't listened to every episode, so I anticipate lots of enjoyment to come. Hmm.
Well, there you go. You can attest for our hatred and disdain from the very early days.
Savic via Gmail says, hey, lovely Close the Door people. Wow, amazing. 10 years of podcasting. Happy anniversary. You gave many lonely JB shipper hearts something like a home over the years. Thank you so much for being here and doing this. Oh, that's sweet.
That's really nice. Look at us still holding the flame.
I Dream of Spring on the Discord says, thank you to everyone who's ever been on Close the Door. And I think, you know, I want to reiterate that, you know, as this 10 years and we're here now, but there's like a bunch of people's shoulders and whatnot that we've certainly stood on over the years that have been a part of the podcast.
Yes.
I've been listening and re-listening for so long now, and y'all have given me so much joy and laughter and someone to just nerd rage with over the stupid show back when all the BNF podcasts were so in denial about it. I'd listen to other pods and read the A Song of Ice and Fire subreddit and wonder what the fuck they were even watching. You guys have always been one of my favorite parts of this fandom, and even if we never get another book, I've loved listening to you all over the last decade. Azor Ahai truly is the friends we made along the way. Which is an awesome comment. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, like, especially doing an episode like this, like, getting, like, a bunch of questions and comments is the best, and people have really been, you know, very generous with that and, you know, generous with their questions and comments and feelings and stuff, and I think, like, it just makes it really fun to get that feedback, too.
Right. I love that we see the same name. Like, it's awesome to see the same people still following, still listening, still asking questions.
Or even,
which is awesome.
You know, yeah, and, like, Savic, who asked a bunch of questions. So, like, I don't think I've ever seen that name before. So there's still, like, brand new, like, people coming in, which is, you know.
So they've asked questions. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, think about, like, in our 10 years, the people, you know, like, I hope that, I mean, I'm sure there's people that have passed away. I hope not, but, you know.
Oh, God, why are you going
there? Because I was going to go, like, bad, and then I'm going to go happy. So, like, you know, people that
aren't you glad they're gone?
Have gotten married and had, I went down, and now it's, you know, I know that there's a lot of people in the fandom in the 10 years, you know, that gotten married, have had children, and, you know, just, like, you know, like, so many changes throughout everyone's lives, obviously, over the course of 10 years. And
do you think there's people out there that have named their children Guile or Locke?
Oh, my God.
I remember there was someone who was, like, a kid, like, a teenager who was, like, listening and, like, having to hide it from her parents.
Oh, yeah. I remember because that. Because it was spoiled. And we have people who would, like, be listening or in the chat with us when they were at work and stuff. Like, it was wild. Yeah. It's been a lot of long time. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, just through all, you know, everyone has all these life changes. And, I mean, the world changed. I mean, you know, what was this, 2014? I mean, my God, like.
So sweet summer children we were.
Right.
I know. Yeah, can you imagine if any of this had happened while the show was going on? Like, we might not have gotten the end. Like, what would have happened? Because some shows just fell by the wayside. Like, it's wild to think about.
Would have been like, getting Zoom readings.
Maybe like, it would have helped.
Yeah. The strike, like all.
Yeah. You know, oh yeah, the strike. Oh yeah.
Although the scab writers would have been intro. You know, not that I can support that, but you know, they couldn't have done a worse job. so yeah, it's just holy shit. So in summation, holy shit, 10 years.
Yeah.
Anyone have any last words before we, you know, do the thing?
I love you, dorks.
I love you all. And I thank you all.
Yeah, I thank you all so much.
I just like, I did want to say, and it's not going to get super sappy, but I think like one thing that's been really interesting for me is just like I've learned to critically read fiction so much better by like listening to you guys and like not necessarily, like I'd be very accepting of like, oh, it was just the way it is in the 90s and like not like actually expect people to do better. Yeah. And that's been like really like, a you know, just to be a more critical consumer of media is one thing that I've learned from this podcast, which I think, you know, is completely due to you all. Like 100%.
I totally echo that. And like, there's so much stuff that I can just drop now because I'm like, I don't want to waste my time with this. There's a clarity in what the quality of things.
And also just to be more accepting of other opinions within a fandom. Like I remember I made some snarky comment like about the Greyjoys or something. And like, I totally remember Chicky going, you know, a lot of people really like those characters in those chapters.
Name one. No, I was kidding.
Name one. The right amount of shame, you know, like you're like, you know what? Yeah. You're being a dick and, you know, learn to be less of a dick. So, you know, definitely again, like, thank you guys for that. I mean, yeah, we're a perfect dick, but in that one specific thing.
Oh God, we're a perfect example of that. This group of people. There are so many things we're so polarized on, like certain characters, storylines, opinions. But yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, I just want to. I want to say something. I just want to say thank you. I think the thing that I have learned the most from this podcast is just the importance of community. And having people that you can just literally shoot the shit with about whatever crazy thing that you're into. And you guys have been amazing friends. And I can't imagine how we could have pulled this off if you weren't all such fabulous people, quite frankly. So love you guys.
I love you too. My turn to be sappy. Like for me, I know I've said this before, but just to say it, you know, on the podcast officially, like there's been so many moments in my life where I've had to pull out and drop away because my life has gotten too stupidly crazy busy. But knowing that like you all are here and it's work, like people, I don't know, unless you've done a podcast, it is a lot of work, especially on the back end of things. Like,
it's like,
you know, we sit here and we record for, you know, an hour or two, you know, every once in a while. But then like there's all that other stuff that goes into it. And like, I am so grateful knowing that I have you all, that it's still happening. Like it's been a completely communal group effort. And like, I also love you dorks. So that's, yeah.
It's amazing it lasted this long and everybody stuck with it. And it's been, like you said, it's been like a comfort. Like, it's the one thing, like all these different things, I think, you know, can go on in your personal life, but it's nice to have this one thing where we all share and then share with the rest of the fans listening. That's cool.
And yeah, I think, you know, everyone's been really flexible about kind of, you know, we've definitely pulled back on the podcast to make it easier for ourselves. And you know, no one was a jerk and we were like, no, we're not going to have guests anymore. And, you know, no, we're, you know, not recording every week. So you're, you know, you might hear an episode that was recorded, you know, a month and a half ago and no one ever is like a jerk about it. Right. So it's nice that we've been allowed to do like as much or as little as we're able to, too. I mean, that's what keeps it going, frankly.
Yeah, it is. And I just want to say, we were planning to quit when the show was over. We were going to like finish out a few more like special episodes and we were going to be out. And
I'm just really can't quit you guys.
It's been fun.
Have we said that we're doing, you know, we're going to do the chapters and feasts that we haven't done? Cause you know,
we haven't said, we kind of left it up in the air, but yeah, okay. I think we are going to do Feast. We are, because Guile, who always handles our schedule, which let me tell you is no easy thing to do. And something I've been grateful for every minute that you've been around, Guile. We are planning to do Feast, which actually only means us recording like 15
episodes.
We've done most of it. But we are going to do Feast, and I don't know, we might be in negotiations about doing some of Dance. It's
like,
been discussed.
Yeah, like cherry picking our way through Dance, maybe.
Yes, maybe. We're talking about it. So stay tuned, I guess, and possibly we'll do the Dunkin' Egg. We'll see how it goes.
All right, well, I am stepping towards the door. Oh, we should say, again, like, for those of you who are new, I always like to bring up the fact that we named this podcast Close the Door and Come Here for a line in a Jamie and Brienne chapter that was never used on the show. Yep. Always cracks me up, because if you're show only, you have no idea of the name. But so I am closing the door after 10 years, but we'll open it again. Final. That really
I'm slamming the door.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. Sounded like we're ending the series and have to, no. Just closing, not locking, you know, just for the door.